Hear from me, four-time Olympic gold medalist Michael Johnson, on the Data Brilliant podcast from Data Leaders Click. I talk to Click's Joe Dos Santos about the role of data in my running career and in my business today as I help prepare future athletes. Tune in to hear us as we discuss the psychological and personal qualities needed to be a champion and how data can help you recognize what it takes to win. Search Data Brilliant on your preferred podcast platform to listen now.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Inside Line Formula One podcast. Less than 2 weeks to go for the first race of the 2020 Formula One season to kick off. Kunal!
Are you excited?
I'm so excited.
Yes. Like, woohoo! Less than 2 weeks to go. It's something we've actually said before, and let's really hope we don't have to say it again, that less than 2 weeks to go for the first race of 2020. And I'm sure there's like a millions of fans who are literally just waiting for the five lights to illuminate and go off and finally just start the season.
Yeah, and Kunal, you know, I'm so excited to know what, you know, the inside stories from the paddock are like. Like, what is Sebastian Vettel's mood like? Or, you know, how icy are Renault with Daniel Ricciardo and all of that?
It's going to be summer. I don't think they're going to be icy with him. But okay, bad jokes aside.
Terrible. Gotta work on that.
For me, the big bummer is that media will not be allowed inside the paddock and all media sessions will be conducted online. And from print media perspective, I'm told that just 10 journalists are going to be permitted to travel per race or for the first three races. And they're going to be confined only in the media center.
And of course, we know that fans won't be there in the grandstands either. And that actually brings me to the question of our episode. Will Formula One add fake crowd noise to the broadcast feed in 2020?
So, yes, that is the highlight segment in this episode. We're also going to discuss the sale that's going on in Formula One. Guys, like you know, at least three teams might be available for a partial purchase on a discounted price.
Yeah, and we're going to share a trend that we've tracked in Daniel Ricciardo's recent media interactions. Stay tuned for that. That's very interesting. And guys, we're going to discuss the impact of Andy Cowell's departure from Mercedes.
And finally, we end the show with bits and pieces of information. Ones, you know, stories that we found funny and insightful as we all look forward to the first race of 2020. And before we resume, a big round of thanks to Lucien for composing the music for our show for so many seasons together.
Thank you, Lucien. You are amazing. Kunal, so let's kick off our highlight segment. Will Formula One add fake crowd noise to the broadcast feed in 2020? I know that football's use of fake crowd noise has evoked like a mixed reaction.
Football has also used fake fans, and I'm surprised fake fans don't have fake noises coming with them already. But okay, so to me, it's a tough choice, you know, and it's like one of the highlights of a football broadcast is the crowd noise and the chants in the stadium, right? But in Formula One, one doesn't actually hear the crowd noise as distinctly. And, you know, when you do, you literally just hear meow. You don't really hear crowd noise. So it's a tough choice to make for Formula One.
Yeah. Also, I think we've been hearing crowd noise when there's like an overtake or if someone spins or crashes out. But again, you know, these noises have been far more audible since the switch to the V6 hybrid turbo power units.
True.
So in fact, I clearly remember this, that, you know, back when we had the first race of this era, Australia 2014, we could hear the tires screeching. And I thought that was accidental, but then it was a very fascinating inclusion to our viewing experience.
Fascinating inclusion to our viewing experience. Yes, it's going to be beautiful to hear what Formula One actually does with their sound. And if we also go back a couple of years, you know, this was a very hotly debated topic, but Formula One eventually decided to use ceramic microphones to amplify the sound of the power units for broadcast purposes. I'm all for it. I think they should do it. And in my view, if they use fake crowd noise, I would absolutely understand why. Like, let's remember, in 2020, at least the first eight races, we're racing for television, okay? And let's do whatever it takes to deliver the best television product that one can, right? And then again, we've already got fake overtaking that goes on in Formula One. So.
Oh my God. I should have seen that coming. In fact, Kunal, we might actually have fake fans in the grandstands too. So it almost seems like Formula One is going to be faking it a lot in 2020. You know, the quote that goes, fake it till you make it. But personally speaking, I think I'm at the stage where it's like, okay, as long as we have a race, I don't care what noise they put on my broadcast. I just want to watch the race.
No. You have to take a stance. Come on. This is like the worst middle ground you could have taken. What's your stance?
Okay, I'm going to say that I think Formula One will use those fake crowd noises. And yeah, it seems like the correct thing to do.
I'll tell you what the correct thing to do for me would be. That being an absolute purist of the sport, it would be to just leave on like the engine sounds and radio messages on the world feed and nothing else. I'm sure I'll figure the rest out by myself. I don't need all the commentary and the likes that go
now
with
come
it.
To think of it, the fake crowd noise sounds like, you know, the laughter that they put on like a sitcom like Friends, where they have people fake laughing when something funny is supposed to happen.
Yeah, again, see, television product, why not put it out?
Yeah, but by the way guys, speaking of Kunal and watching Formula One, I have counted. Kunal needs at least 4 screens when he watches Formula One. So it's like, you know, he literally builds a fort of these like laptops and monitors and iPads and God knows what. And he's following like several feeds and like data sources and whatnot. It's actually quite fun to watch him watch Formula.
Yes, thank you. It is a lot of fun and someday we can all watch the race together, I hope. But that's it from the fake crowd noise segment. And let us know what you guys think and write to us via our Facebook page.
Yes, do that.
Do you guys think there should be fake crowd noises or not? It's a tough choice, but I'm a little surprised Mithila agreed with my view that we should have fake crowd noises.
I'm not that disagreeable. I'll just leave it there.
Okay, so yes, before we actually move on, I'm going to just finish off something that I've labeled as the TV segment. You know, Formula One was to debut television graphics, new television graphics for the 2020 season. We'll actually finally see them on our feeds come Austria, right? So we've experienced the tire graphic last year. We've all made fun out of it, right? This year, we might just have one more graphic to make fun out of. It's going to be the car performance rating graphic, okay? I am told that it's actually relative to each car and circuit. So I'm really excited to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, I think, Kunal, that these are like great attempts to simplify an otherwise complex sport, you know?
True.
Make it easier for viewers to consume.
Absolutely.
Okay, so fine, let's move on to the next topic of discussion for this podcast. And this one's actually a slightly serious one. It's about Andy Cowell's departure from Mercedes.
Well, I think it would have been a serious one if Andy Cowell actually deflected from Mercedes to a rival team. From what I know, he's still going to consult with Mercedes in the short term. And this could be like the new form of gardening leave in the sport. You know, who knows? But can you imagine if Andy Cowell decides to go racing, what his three-letter abbreviated short term on TV would be?
I'm just going to go, moo! But honestly, there have been just so many high-profile exits from Formula One in the recent past. You know, it was Nico Rosberg that departed, and then Paddy Lowe went to Williams, and then Dr. Zetch and Aldo Costa, and now we have Cowell. So I think, in fact, the last three have all departed in the last year, literally.
Yeah, absolutely. And
And we shouldn't miss mentioning the loss of Niki Lauda as well.
True, yes. And I can actually add to your list. So Toto Wolff's future role with the team has been uncertain as well. You know, it's not known whether he's going to continue as team principal or will he take up something else and the like. So let's really see what actually happens out there. But the point we're trying to make is that the architects of Mercedes's dominance have been departing slowly and steadily, right? But we are still seeing Mercedes dominate. So the question is whether they'll continue to dominate in the long term or no.
Yeah, I feel that, you know, for the current power unit formula, Mercedes pretty much have their bases covered. But it's when the new regulations that come into effect, you know, like in 2026, that's when they're really going to miss Cowell's expertise and inputs.
And if Ross Brawn is right, we might just have new power unit manufacturers for 2026. Of course, it's far away, but let's hope that happens.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, of course, I know that a succession plan was put into place ever since he announced that he would be leaving. in January this year, that is. But we also know, Kunal, that Ferrari started to literally fall apart when their trio of Todd and Brawn and Schumacher were separated. So hopefully not a case of history repeating itself.
You know, that's the one example that's been coming to everyone's minds ever since Mercedes' team has, you know, slowly and steadily moving on from there. In Mercedes' case, like I said, you know, their dominance is yet to come to an end. And I'm sure, like me, all of us are literally just waiting to see how, and more importantly, who will be able to bring an end to their dominance. And, you know, it will require a higher level of operating finesse than Mercedes has, you know, been showing in the whole hybrid turbo era, right? And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see how that actually happens, right? But to wrap up this segment, here's an insight from one of my friends who recently quit his job at a Formula One team. So he said that the stability of regulations actually works against the ambitions and aspirations of an engineer.
Oh, wow. Come to think of it, that actually makes a lot of sense from an engineer's point of view. And I never thought about that before. I mean, it's like, you know, the ever-evolving challenge to build the best machine under a given formula. That's what drives them, I'm sure.
Yes. Okay. What's next?
Okay. So let's talk about McLaren and how they've joined Williams in selling a stake in their team. So guys, it's reported that McLaren are okay to sell up to 30% in their Formula One team.
Okay. I'm sure Zak Brown's first phone call was to Toto Wolff saying, you know, Toto, I'm happy to give you a first right of refusal before I go elsewhere. Given how Toto's literally just buying everything he can in Formula One. Okay. But on a more serious note, you know, we've been saying this on the Inside Line F1 podcast since maybe 3 years now, that now is the best time to invest in a Formula One team. And of course, the now has been progressively getting better in time.
The now is still now.
Yes.
In fact, yeah, I saw your investor guide video that you made on the Pits to Podium show. That was quite nice.
Thank you.
But guys, let's remember, McLaren and Williams, they are like among the most iconic teams in the sport. You know, great legacy, they're former world champions, and they're expected to remain in the sport for the time to come.
That's expected.
Yeah,
yes.
More than can be said for several of the other teams. And very importantly, they're expected to find their way to the top sooner or later, I would hope.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 10, 12 years ago, no one would have imagined that Williams and McLaren would be in the place that they are in today. Like, to be really honest, they're politically irrelevant in Formula One. And being on the right side of the political game is crucial in Formula One, like we've seen time and again with the teams that are on the right side of the game.
Exactly. And it feels like Red Bull Racing has taken that spot that McLaren and Williams used to apply in, you know, that erstwhile regime.
True. And, you know, when you come to think of it, I'm so glad you brought up Red Bull Racing, because Red Bull Racing are literally on the same path as Williams and McLaren have been on since inception. So, what is this path? So, they're all privateer teams who have relied on strong technical partnerships with manufacturers to build their successes on, right? I don't ever foresee Williams, McLaren or Red Bull to be making their own power unit. So, They've benefited from, you know, works team technologies, you know, as well as the money that, you know, these partnerships have brought to the team time and again. So my mind goes back to, you know, the partnerships that Williams had with Renault and then Honda and the like. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out in the long run.
Yeah, Kunal, very eloquently put, I must say.
Thank
and,
you.
And, you know, now Williams and McLaren, they're instead, they're paying customers for power units. So things
what
have changed.
Yeah.
And this is literally why Ron Dennis pushed for a switch from Mercedes to Honda some years ago. But I'm going to just come back to this whole investing in Formula One, you know, investing in Formula One team specifically. The pandemic seems to have offered a unique opportunity for those who have money and those who have, you know, that intent or that ambition to be a team owner in Formula One. It sounds very fancy.
And the ego that
exactly.
comes along with it.
And I'm guessing the teams will be valued lower than before. So it's like Formula One teams are on sale, literally speaking, you know?
Yes.
Summer sale everywhere.
It is literally the summer sale or summer sale of 2020. Like.
Yeah.
But I'm going to add Haas to the list of teams on sale as well, because I'm pretty sure if someone made Gene Haas an offer, he can't refuse. He actually won't refuse that offer. That's my feeling, right? But final point on this segment, I don't think more teams apart from Williams, McLaren and Haas will be lining up to sell a stake and raise funds, right? Because the remaining seven teams either have a works team status or have an existing partnership with a works team. And you guys know what teams I'm talking to and what partnerships I'm talking about.
Yeah, so basically it's a sale, guys, but offer valid till stocks last because there are limited items only, correct?
Right. By the way, Gunther Steiner has threatened that the financial situation that, you know, Formula One teams are undergoing in 2020 might just force Haas to hire a paid driver in 2021. Now, this could mean that, you know, Haas will have at least one, if not two, young drivers in the team next year. Two, let's assume, Formula 2 drivers who have the money are willing to pay for a seat and then, you know, they become Haas drivers.
That's interesting. I'd wait and watch for more news on that. And Kunal, by the way, I'm also very pleased with Gunther Steiner's team management skills. So he's very publicly claimed that Haas will not bring new upgrades till he knows what the budget for 2020 is. I thought this was a stark contrast, you know, from a team that would upgrade the car on like loans and then put themselves in this position where they're on the brink of bankruptcy. And it's a different position.
Yeah, it's like, you know, never take on credit if you may not be able to afford it in life anyway, right? But who would have thought that on this episode we would have an investor guide and a financial management lesson going on? But, you know, on Haas, I get this feeling that if they go down the paid driver route, they'll probably end up hiring a Ferrari Junior and get some benefits from Ferrari because they're actually abstained from doing that. So it could well be that, you know, Antonio Giovinazzi gets a Haas drive in 2021 or Mick Schumacher gets a Haas drive, you know, in 2021. Because even Ferrari needs that one extra seat to place a Schumacher in Formula One next year. So it all depends, you know, if Raikkonen remains, if Hülkenberg comes back, what Giovinazzi does, and so on.
Guys, I think that was just one of Kunal's famous predictions that always come true. So we'll watch.
No bets, but yes, why not?
Okay, moving on. Kunal, let's talk about Daniel Ricciardo. So he has made it to Forbes' list of top athletes along with Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel. I thought this was brilliant positioning for him, you know? I mean, mind you guys, it's like much tougher for older drivers like Danrick to position themselves or place themselves in the sport given this whole influx of young and dynamic and, you know, fairly humorous drivers we've seen.
That's true. And this is also Daniel Ricciardo's way of proving to the world that, hey, I am a big bucks driver and all that's coming in between me and a world championship is a good car. And frankly speaking, to me, Daniel Ricciardo might just have missed the bus for a world championship in his career, but that's my feeling at this moment. You never know how things unfold in Formula One. And, you know, or more like teams have overlooked Ricciardo and several other senior drivers. Like we've said, even Sergio Perez, you know, is a part of this generation of drivers that Formula One has sort of just overlooked.
Yeah, and you know, just to add to the whole positioning angle we're talking about, so Ricciardo recently said that he considers himself part of this elite group of drivers who can win on any day in the right car. So you see where I'm going with this, or where he is going with this.
Yes, absolutely. He's realized that without a winning car under him, he's got to keep the interest in his career and his talent high through his positioning and communication, and that's what he's doing.
Exactly. I mean, if he'd stayed on at Red Bull Racing, I don't think he would have made it to the Forbes list, but he would have been a championship contender for 2020 without a doubt. But Kunal, that ship has sailed, so let's move on.
But maybe not, because Daniel Ricciardo said never say never when he was quizzed about returning to Red Bull Racing at some point. And let's just think about it. Can Daniel Ricciardo ever go back to Red Bull Racing? And in my view, that could happen only if Red Bull Racing reaches a point where they do not have Max Verstappen's services as a racing car driver. Because, you know, I don't think Red Bull Racing have a replacement for Max Verstappen yet. And if something were to happen to that relationship, you never know if Daniel Ricciardo might just benefit from it. And it would be so ironic because he left Red Bull Racing at that point to say he didn't trust what Honda would bring to the team. But now he would have gone back trusting Honda, but also not taking on Max Verstappen. So
it's pretty interesting to watch. And also interesting is the fact that Daniel Ricciardo is going to have like two younger teammates challenging him this season and next season. So there's Esteban Ocon and Lando Norris. And Kunal, this is very interesting because in the 8 seasons that Daniel Ricciardo's raced in Formula 1, he was beaten by a teammate only 3 times. So I think following this storyline for Ricciardo and for Formula 1 actually over the next 2 seasons is going to be very insightful.
Before we go off the Daniel Ricciardo story, you know, Franz Tost of AlphaTauri said that Danny Kvyat was faster than Ricciardo, and that's why they're happy to have Danny Kvyat race for AlphaTauri. Okay, now irrespective of how true this statement may or may not be, I'm sure that Danny Ricciardo is, you know, pleased that he's still the metric of measurement at Red Bull Racing.
Ooh, that's a punch.
Okay, up next is, yes. Let's go speaking about some funny incidents, you know, that we made a note of through the week.
Yeah, Kunal, I must remind you that we literally have like, what, 4 or 5 minutes before we need to end this episode. So you need to choose your funny incidents carefully.
Okay, so this is like, you know, the race is ending. I have a lower fuel load and I'm going
exactly.
to put fastest laps out of fastest laps. Okay, Fantasy Formula 1 is a massive draw. So much so that the winner of 2019 has shared 5 tips on how to win Fantasy F1 in 2020. Okay, but believe it or not, the guy who won Fantasy F1 2019, his name is Lewis Tu.
What right? are the odds, right?
Yes, and thankfully, changing one's name to Lewis isn't one of the tips that he shared, thankfully.
Oh, thank God. But on a more serious note, actually, speaking of Lewis, hats off to Lewis Hamilton for launching the Hamilton Commission to make our sport more diverse. You know, in fact, even Formula One's Race as One, that campaign, I think is a great way of spreading awareness and talking about these issues. Guys, in fact, I'm sure you'll all know, but various Formula One assets are actually going to sport the rainbow colors. And this is to pledge support towards this initiative. So, interesting stuff.
Yes, this also reminds me, you're sending our best wishes to Alessandro Zanardi. Alex, we need you to overcome one more challenge in life. You've been such an inspiration and we're really cheering you on.
Also, Ferrari are going to be testing the 2018 car at Mugello sometime this week. Kunal, I wonder if they're like, forget everything else for 2020, but we need to win our 1,000th race at Mugello. So let's go all out and only focus on that.
You know, at this moment and every day, I just hope that Ferrari's pre-season testing pace was deceptive because we need them in the fight in 2020. If nothing, for Sebastian Vettel's case. If no one else, then, you know.
Yeah. By the way, Helmut Marko was literally fuming at Renault's test at the Red Bull ring. I don't think he was fuming so much at the fact that Renault was testing there. I think it was more like a rant towards Project Spielberg for allowing Renault to test there.
Yeah, that's actually, a lot of people have been wondering why Red Bull allowed for Renault to test there at, you know, Red Bull Ring. But the truth here is that these are two independent businesses, right? So there is Red Bull Racing on one end and Red Bull Ring on the other hand. So you're right in allowing, you know, these two businesses to make their own independent decisions. And I'm glad they did that, right? Moving on to Jamie Chadwick. Okay, I'm really excited about our prospects over the next 2 or 3 or 4 years because she has got fresh backing and is expected to race for Prema all the way till Formula 2 if she's able to prove her pace. And she's of course going to start with the regional Formula 3 this season. But there is a roadmap in place for her if she ends up proving her talent.
That is fantastic. I think getting the backing in itself a great achievement for her.
Especially in these times, right?
Exactly.
And for being a female racer.
Exactly. And Kunal, she is definitely an exciting talent to watch out for. Like you said, that she is the best bet for a female racer to make it to Formula 1 at this point. So, Jamie, we're rooting for you. Keep pushing.
Yes. F1 recently released a video in which drivers were asked to reveal what or who they thought was unlucky in the sport of Formula 1. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was a fantastic video and I'm sure all our listeners loved it too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I absolutely went bonkers. It was one of those few videos that I saw like three times over just to see how it all played out.
Yeah. Needless to say, I thought the ending was the best. You know, Kimmy saying me.
Well, I thought the word you'd look for was like heartbreaking and not the best.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant. I just said best because there was this, you know, brutal honesty that came through.
You know, Daniel Ricciardo said that Lewis Hamilton was unlucky, which is, okay, I was a joke, fine, that's Ricciardo being Ricciardo. But worse was when Lance Stroll came and he said, you know, he cited some race of his in Canada where he said he was unlucky. And my first thought was like, okay, honestly, Lance, do you really think fans remember your races and, you know, how they turned out or how they could have turned out, right? And guys, if you're one of those fans who remembers this, I'd love to know who you are. Please reach out to us. Have a conversation.
Yeah, I just specifically remember Stroll's race in Baku, actually, where he lost second place to Valtteri Bottas, like literally at the finish line. And that was his first and only podium, of course. So that one stuck.
Yeah, so there the podium was celebrated because it was the first podium, exactly. Rather than wondering why I lost out on second place. Yes, it was Baku. Yes, slipstream is easy. All of that, but just putting it out there, right? So, finally, you know, Max Verstappen has paid a massive 1.6 million euros to purchase a Ferrari. Now, this could very well be a car that Leclerc would just probably get for free, you know, as a company car. Or he would get a massive discount on for if it was a private car, right? So, clearly, the perks of racing for a car manufacturer are coming out here.
Yeah, and I wonder now if Sebastian Vettel has already returned his company car to Ferrari.
No wonder he's on two wheels everywhere.
Yeah, but Kunal, I honestly imagine that not many of us would envy Max Verstappen for his, what, free annual supply of Red Bull Racing energy drinks? No, thank you.
But mark my words, guys, you know, Max Verstappen's comments on Ferrari being cheaters will actually come to bite him back one day in his Formula One career. I hope not, but I get this feeling it's going to happen.
One more Kunal prediction in the house. Anyway, Kunal, a quick question before we go to the last point of this episode. Do you think face masks will show up with sponsor logos in 2020?
Well, I can actually think of some really funny sponsor integrations already. And, you know, like a fast food chain or a chewing gum brand, you know, putting a logo out there. But to answer your question, yes, I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, sponsor logos on the face mask. This is Formula One, guys. Remember, teams will do all they can to monetize everything they can. And, you know, in 2020, face masks will actually be exposed to some of the best real estate on primetime television. So why not?
Why not? But
they all need the money.
Can you imagine Kimi Raikkonen? He's going to have like a cap and glass and a face mask. Basically, we will never be able to see his face even if we want to. Okay, great.
If I was Kimi, I would just have a mask and I would put a wah. You know, I would just embroider it. So it just shows that, okay, I'm not going to answer anything that the media asks me. Or thankfully for him, there is no media traveling.
Exactly. Okay, final point of this episode. So Alejandro Agag has claimed that Formula One and Formula E might merge one day. And, you know, frankly, I find this like an eat, sleep, play, repeat. That's basically what Formula E is doing.
You know, given just how many times and just how many different people in Formula E keep saying the same thing again and again, which is this whole merger with Formula One, I really wonder if that's their end game, you know, actually build an electric car racing series and then sell it off to Formula
One. Or just keep talking about it all the time till, you know, no one can get it out of their heads.
I wonder if this does anything to their valuation.
Kunal, I actually find that FIA and Formula E, they've played this really well, actually. So Formula E has the exclusive rights to an electric car racing series. This means that Formula One cannot go all electric even if they want to.
But guys, let's remember that when you go up Formula One and Formula E's family tree, you'll know that both series have the same ancestry connected to Jean Malone.
Fantastic, guys. Thank you for listening to us. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. And we'll be back very soon. So keep racing and stay tuned for a lot more.
Adios.
Adios.
What do you want to da-da-da?
I don't know. What do y'all think we should da-da-da?
Well, what did we da yesterday?
Yesterday. All the dolls feel like the same doll these days.
I know.
Like, is today Monday or Tuesday?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, no. I forgot to call my mom on her birthday.
Oh, no.
No.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. That won't change. Not to da or any da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.